Praise the Lord. It sure is good to be here this morning, and it is so wonderful to see each of you here today. I've been excited about getting back and looking forward to the service, and once the Lord solidified what he wanted me to preach on, that's always or usually the hardest part looking into a Sunday morning is, Lord, what do we stand in need of? What would you want me to preach on? That kind of thing. And then after having revival week, that's probably one of the hardest Sundays to preach after. One of the things that Brother Daniel said early on, being the one that was starting us off last week, he said, I don't want to kill it. I don't want to kill it. I said, you're not going to kill it. You're not going to kill it. It's all right. I said, just do what the Lord has laid on your heart. And that is absolutely my intent this morning. And I tell you, so thankful for these men, and I've expressed to them our gratitude, mine and from the church, and the good comments of encouragement to them. And again, gave them no direction, just said do what the Lord would have you to, just be obedient. I always think that's the thing to do. I don't know what we need always. You know, sometimes maybe knowing circumstances, I might have an idea of what might be a blessing to somebody, but there's so many things going on in all of our hearts that people know nothing about, and only God can give that direction, so I trust him to supply it, and he'll never lead us wrong. Never lead us wrong. If you'd like to, I will be in a few places today, not trying to switch around too much, but we'll be in a few places today, but if you'd like to turn to Luke chapter number 24, and maybe just hang out there for just a little bit. Plan on reading some there. Some of the other things I have is maybe just a quicker verse or two, but maybe a little reading there. But you know, I want to say this too about our choir, how much I appreciate our choir. As you were singing through the week, if I'm humming or whistling a song, it's your voices collectively. That's what I hear. You know, I do. I'll be honest with you, I don't listen to a lot of mainstream radio or anything like that. I do listen to some preachers on YouTube and things like that, more so preaching than singing. But when I think about the songs or hear the songs in my head, it's your voices that I hear. And I'm thankful for that. It's consistent. I believe the Lord would have us have a consistent sound about things. We'll see some things this morning talking about maybe a little bit about revival, but just our spiritual life in and of itself. Several years ago when I first started preaching, I was preaching a message, and we'll get there in a little bit, out of Leviticus about Nadab and Abihu. And I tell you, I typed this one out. It was pages. It's for Brother Eric over at Green Valley. And I had pages on it, and I remembered, man, is this guy ever going to hush? He just kept on talking about myself. Starting out, you know, not really having an idea of time or what have you, but preached the message, got through it, and there's a lot in it. But you know, one of the things that I've remembered Brother Eric saying, he said, you know, another good title for this message would be Keep the Fire Burning. Keep the Fire Burning. And I was like, yeah, you know, that's good. And I reflected on that. And so some, I don't know, probably 12, 13 years later, Lord willing, I mean, this morning, that's what I intend to preach on, is keeping the fire burning. That's something thinking about this, having a week of revival and being able to be together. Brother Daniel saying, you know, he didn't want to kill it. I sure don't want to kill it now. I don't want to throw no water on anything. You want to see it? I want to see it keep going. I want to see the foundation that's already been laid. I want to see it keep going, and I want it to help our hearts. We need it so bad. You look around and you see what you see in the news, and you just see the different signs. I think some people are maybe partly excited, partly anxious, because when you start seeing these signs, it makes you think about, now what does the Bible say about this? Do I really need to be taking note of this? We do. We do. Things are happening quickly, and think about it like this. You think about it, church, if we are alive when the Lord returns, wouldn't you want to be ready to go? I mean, really think about this, looking for it. Excited about it, planning to say, hey, my Lord's coming back and you're looking for him. I wouldn't want to be caught off guard, would you? I really wouldn't. I want to have my eyes open, my heart open, my ears open, listening for the trumpet, looking for him to step out. That's where my heart's at this morning. That's where our hearts need to be constantly, constantly. And I think it's important that we keep the fire burning in our life. I just want to start off with one verse, and I'll jump into it this morning. 1 Thessalonians 5:19, it simply says, quench not the Spirit. Quench not the Spirit. Father, I come to you this morning, Lord, knowing I'm unworthy. Lord, I can't do anything, and I know that, Lord. That's been proven time and time again, and I know it. But God, I know you can do all things. Nothing is impossible with you. And God, I just pray that your will be done here this morning. You know each heart. You know each burden on each heart, each hardship. Lord, you know each praise, each thing that's going on, each win that a person has had in their life recently. God, you know that. Not to always paint the picture as being negative or anything, God. Lord, we're always, should always be reminded we're on the winning side. God, you've allowed us to be there if we're willing to accept you and take part in what you have for us, God. And Lord, I just pray that you help me this morning. God, I pray you help each heart, each home this morning. Just lead and guide. I pray that you guide my mouth, guide my thoughts, help me to speak clearly. God, always staying in context. And Lord, just preach what you've put on my heart. God, help me. I can't do anything without you. Lord, I pray also for those who are lost here today. God, I pray today could be their day of salvation. I pray that you help them to see that. Help them to see and understand truly their need of a Savior. God, I pray for your help this morning. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. Amen. So just starting out, thinking about this again, Brother Daniel saying he didn't want to kill it, and I absolutely was not worried about that. He's a dear brother, and I've always enjoyed his preaching, and I got to thinking about it this morning. Somebody said to me, no pressure, right? No pressure after a week of revival getting up to preach, and I'm like, well, I wasn't pressured till then. I didn't feel it till then. Maybe a little bit now, but I just say that jokingly. But you look at what it says in 1 Thessalonians 5:19. It says, quench not the Spirit. That simply means to extinguish, to put out, to become cool, to destroy. It takes next to nothing to quench the Spirit. Did you know that? I mean, it takes next to nothing. I've seen it happen. It's an interesting place to be. In the pulpit, I guess you'd say, or facing people sometimes. And just so you know, preachers can absolutely feel or sense or tell pushback, whether it be by look or whether it just be by the Spirit himself. It doesn't take much at all to extinguish a fire when you're talking about a spiritual fire like this. It doesn't take much at all. You see, the Holy Spirit, he is a gentleman. He doesn't push himself on you. He'll stay consistent with you. He'll knock on your heart's door. He'll knock on there and he'll. I want to come in and sup with you. If you'll open the door, I'll come in and I'll sup with you. I'll be there with you. So he's a gentleman knocking on the door. But if he's met with the face looking out the window like, I don't want you here, he knows that too. He knows that. That's how it is. And the Bible plainly tells us not to quench the Spirit. I want to talk about three different points this morning quickly. Normally don't do it this way, but it kind of lined up that way. But talking about the Spirit and how the Spirit is within us. Do you remember the day that you got saved? Do you remember what that was like? You start back out. That's the way I look at it. Before you have the indwelling of the Holy Spirit in you, it's impossible really in some ways to quench you. You don't know what it is. Now you can push him back as a lost person when all he's wanting to do is come into your heart. But what you'll find, these verses are talking to saved people. It's talking to people that know Christ. People that have him on the inside. People that resist him, although he's on the inside. You go back to Matthew and look what it says here, Matthew 3:11. He's talking about how this baptism is going to take place. John the Baptist, when he was saying it, he says, I indeed baptize you with water unto repentance. But he that cometh after me is mightier than I, whose shoes I am not worthy to bear. He shall baptize you with the Holy Ghost and with fire. That's strong words. Have you experienced that? Well, let me tell you something. I didn't feel fire when I went down in the water. I felt fire when he came into my heart. Amen? There's a difference when you look at it that way. You dunk something underwater, could be put out, right? Put the fire out. But I remember when he came in my heart that night, August 14th, 1988, I remember that vividly, clearly. I can take you to the stairs there at Mountaindale and looking out at the stars that night. That's the clearest those stars have ever looked in my life. I remember it vividly. That's why when I thank God, I can say that I know that I know. That's why he put something in my heart that wasn't there before.
Bible says it's a fire. You think about the day of Pentecost, how that happened. Y'all want you to see this first part here? It's talking about consecration. It's being set apart. You know, when we are saved, that is the Lord setting you apart from everybody else. It's going to happen also in the latter days, the last days. When you think about judgment, you think about the sheep on one side, the goats on one side, there's a dividing. You see, in our hearts, that's already taken place. When the Lord looks down on this earth, you know what He sees? He sees those are mine and those are not mine. He sees both sides. He said, now those can be mine if they choose to be so, but these are mine, those aren't mine. When you accept Christ, when you're saved, when He enters into your heart, you're consecrated. You're set apart. He pulls you apart. The Bible says we're peculiar people. It's hard to say that word. Peculiar. I always thought that meant strange and weird. You know, I thought that's what peculiar means. But you know what it also means? It means also belonging to a certain person. I'll take it. I'll take being peculiar. I belong to Him this morning, not because I'm anything or nothing like that, but because He chose me. Amen. He sought me out. He's seeking you out. Seeking to save that which is lost. That was His ministry. That was His mission when He came here. But you see what He's talking about here. He's talking about the inner dwelling that's to come. And that takes place. You remember a few weeks ago we were preaching out of Acts chapter 2. And to give you an idea of what this consecration was like, some things that when you look at it, how that came to be. And it says, and suddenly there came a sound from heaven as of a rushing mighty wind, and it filled all the house where they were sitting. Those people were consecrated at that time. He was coming by. He was talking about the inner dwelling. Now, if you look at the first verse, Acts 2:1, it mentions all being in one accord and all in one place. They weren't scattered about. They weren't all over the place. They weren't some here, some there. They were together, and not only were they together, they were in one accord. They were in unity. You think about quenching not the Spirit. You have a congregation together, sitting in unity. That's an open invitation for the Holy Spirit to do His work. Open invitation. You think about what work needs to be done in our lives. You think about those that are lost that need to be saved. It takes not quenching the Spirit. I'll tell you this, if the Spirit isn't here, people aren't going to get saved here. It's that simple. You have to be where the Holy Spirit is. You have to be accepting of Him. And you see, that's what took place here in Acts 2. You think about the day of Pentecost. That was a powerful day. Think about that first message. We preached on that a lot long ago. How powerful that was. That inner dwelling. Everybody heard the gospel and they were accepting of it. They weren't pushing back. There wasn't any resistance. You know, I look at resistance a lot of times. I don't know what can cause that. You know, sometimes maybe hard feelings, hurt feelings, different things, or all kinds of stuff can hinder things like that. But the Bible teaches us to forgive and move forward. Move forward with Him. That there's no quenching, that there's no throwing water on it. I don't think anybody wants to go to a dry service. Do you? Anybody come here this morning and think, man, I hope nothing good happens. I hope it's just boring and dry. I hope we don't feel the Spirit or nothing. Now, I remember when I was lost, I kind of felt that way. Hope we can get in and get out. I remember growing up, I'll just be honest, you know, I remember growing up sometimes going to church when you have a pastor that was pastoring multiple churches, pastor wasn't there every Sunday. You know, as a lost person, I was kind of relieved when I knew the preacher wasn't going to preach because I wouldn't feel that conviction. Yeah, I remember stuff like that. We're a product of our environment and upbringing. I remember to think, well, we can get to Sunday school. Not that Sunday school's not good. It's good. But there's something different about preaching when the Holy Spirit's in it. Amen. Amen. I love good singing, but I need good preaching. That's how God chose to do this. The foolishness of preaching. Somebody get up. Remember preacher Kenneth Forbes talking about that. He said, you know, you look at the foolishness part of it, somebody get up and yell at you, hoping that you will change maybe your ways, that the Lord would use that. That's what He chose. That's His work. That's His business. And I tell you, the way I see it too, if I want to here's something I want to hear from somebody kind of like me that I can identify with. That's why we have missionaries that go to these countries and different things like that, where they're able to identify with these people, reach these people. That's the way the Lord has set it up to be. And it's amazing. So number one, you see the consecration here. Consecration being put together. When the Holy Spirit actually was interdwelling with the people's hearts after they accepted Christ, they were together in one place, they're in accord. They all wanted the same thing. They're waiting. Think about it like this. They're waiting to hear from God. Every single time we come to church, whether it be for revival services, Sunday morning services, Wednesday night, choir practice, it doesn't matter if it's just for a craft meeting at 4 p.m. Is that today? That we should all come expecting something. Always waiting to see what the Lord wants to do. That's how the Holy Spirit works through the church. Everything He does should be through the Spirit. Everything we do. Every single thing we do. And see, they were coming together that way and they were consecrated. But now I want you to see something here too. There's some communication here in Luke. Not only were they consecrated, when you're talking about the Holy Spirit, not quenching it, but also there's communication. If you want to know what the Lord wants you to do, you have to talk to Him. You have to. If you don't want to quench the Spirit, you have to stay in constant communication with Him. Again, like I said, it doesn't take much to push Him away. A busy lifestyle is the easiest way to push away the Lord. Easiest way. Maybe we get things started. I was thinking about it this morning. We get things started the first of the year. We want to kick off a good year. You go through it like that, maybe on fire for a while. And then things kind of cool off. Then maybe have the Lord's Supper maybe pick back up. Or maybe have revival maybe pick back up. And if we're not careful, things cool off. Our relationship with God should never depend on somebody else. You should always have an on-fire relationship with Him one-on-one. Think about it like this. I've heard people talk about church hurt, things like that, and talk to some of our young ones at CFC, the different experiences that they've had, and used to go here, used to go there, and got bad. Here's the thing. Don't ever let somebody else keep you from getting the help that you need from God. People will mess up. People will hurt you. People mess up. But let me tell you, the Lord will never mess up. He just wants you. He wants you. But He doesn't just accept any old thing. I want us to see that in just a minute. Look at what it says here in Luke 24. Now, this really blessed my heart. They had come together, Luke 24, 13. I'm going to read here. You think about after the death of Jesus. Think about the disciples trying to figure some of these things out. And it says, behold, two of them that same day went to a village called Emmaus, which is from Jerusalem, about 80 furlongs. And they talked together all these things that had happened. And it came to pass that while they communed together and reasoned, Jesus Himself drew near and went with them. Now that's what the interdwelling of the Holy Spirit would be like. You got to think this was before that took place. Jesus drew near to them. Every time that we have a service, that's what we need and that's what we should desire. A drawing near of Jesus. But their eyes were holding and they should not know Him. He was there, but they didn't recognize Him. And He said unto them, what manner of communications are these that you have one to another as you walk and are so sad? The Holy Spirit, Jesus Himself, talked to them and said, why are you so sad? I hear what you're saying. I hear what you're talking about, but why are you so sad? And the one of them, whose name was Cleopas, he answering and said unto him, art thou only a stranger in Jerusalem, and hast not thou known the things which are come to pass there in these days? Didn't you hear what happened to our Jesus, our Savior? Didn't you hear what happened? And he said unto them, what things? And they said unto him concerning Jesus of Nazareth, which was a prophet, mighty in deed and word before God and all the people, and how the chief priests and rulers delivered to him to be condemned to death and have crucified him. But we trusted that it had been he which should have redeemed Israel. And beside all this, Today is the third day since these things were done. They were waiting for something to happen. Waiting. Up to the third day here, waiting for something to happen. And yea, a certain woman, certain women, also of our company, made us astonished, which were early at the sepulcher. When they found not his body, they came saying that they had also seen a vision of angels which said he was alive. See, their minds were rolling. And certain of them which were with us went to the sepulcher and found it even, let me get back where I was, so as the women had said, but him they saw not. Then said unto them, O fools and slow of heart, to believe all that the prophets have spoken, ought not Christ to have suffered these things and to enter into his glory? Were these things, did he not tell us these things were going to happen? And beginning at Moses, look what the Lord did. And beginning at Moses and all the prophets, he expounded unto them in all the scriptures the things concerning himself. And they drew nigh unto the village whither they went. And he made as though he would have gone further. He would have went further with them. But they constrained him, saying, Abide with us. For it is toward evening, and today is the day is far spent. And he went to tarry with them. And it came to pass, he sat at meat with them. And he took bread and blessed it and brake and gave to them. And their eyes were opened, and they knew him. And he vanished out of their sight. They finally recognized who he was. He's back. He's here. He's with us. And then he vanished. Isn't that kind of a strange thing to see how that happened? And all of a sudden he vanished. But now look what he says right here. Look what's being said. This kind of blesses my heart right here also. And it says, and they said one to another, did not our hearts burn within us while he talked with us by the way, and while he opened to us the scriptures, communication. I tell you, you want to have a right relationship with the Holy Spirit? You stay in his scriptures and you listen to what he's having to say. You listen to what he's saying and you apply what he says. I look at it here and I see here a personal conversation with Jesus himself, personal study, and also personal experiences. You see, that's what keeps my fire lit. My personal experiences and hearing personal experiences from somebody else. Say, preacher, you're just not right in there yet. You're putting this thing out. I pray I don't. I want to share something with you. It's not a personal testimony of my own, but it's some word that I got to hear this week from CFC, from one of our students. And I thought maybe I should share this, maybe I shouldn't. So I won't give away identities or anything like that. But you talk about as good as revival was, Thursday night was the highlight of my week. Oh, Brother Patrick, your fire's getting ready to get lit. Let me just tell you something. You think about the power of God. Now, it's one thing here. We meet regular. We have the Word of God. We open it up. Thank God we have it in front of us. And we teach, we preach, we talk, and we look for things. We think about things. But what about the people who do not have a background in church? Do you think about them, Brother Ben? Think, but you get to be back today. Praise the Lord. You're excited to be back. Think about somebody who's never experienced this. Did you know people who have never experienced things like this, they also have hardships in life? They have concerns in life. They have questions in life, and they want to figure things out. I'll tell you something that just made things real to me. We had our class on Thursday and just opened it up for a word of testimony. And there's a young lady who, I've got something I want to say. I'd like to say something. And now this is somebody I'll share with you. She does not believe like we believe. She'll tell you that in a very respectful way. She's never experienced anything like what we have, and she will admit that to you herself as she's admitted it to me. But she keeps coming. She keeps showing up. She keeps showing up. And you know what? This is where it gets real. I'm just going to tell you. She said, the other night, I was in my dorm room. It was about 1:30, and she said, I couldn't go to sleep. She said, I was just sitting there bawling my eyes out. She said, I didn't have any peace. I was looking for direction, and I just didn't know what to do, and I was just crying. And she said, I have a place set up in my dorm room. She said, I've got maybe like a god or an idol has something set up and different religious books and has these things set up. It's like, okay. But she said, you know what? She said, I never had a Bible until you gave me one. I've never had a Bible till you gave me one. She said, I was crying, I was distraught, I was needing direction, I needed some wisdom. And she said, something told me to get that Bible. She said, not to go to these other books, something told me to go to the Bible. And she said, I opened it up. And she said, I flipped open and just started reading. And you know where it went? It landed? It landed in 1 Kings. You remember where Solomon was asking for wisdom? She said, it was just what I needed. And she said, here's the thing. You got to understand this. You say, well, somebody that knows what's in the Bible knows where to look for it. She never had a Bible. Brother Wesley, she didn't know that was in there. She does now. You know what she said? She said, it was so real. It was so real. I needed help, and help was delivered. You see, there's some things that you can't fabricate. I want you to know this morning, anybody from any background that is seeking out God, you'll find him. You'll find him somewhere. But you know what? He's in the volume of the book. I'll tell you what a blessing it is. You know, you think about something, you think, well, maybe we're not really doing anything. Maybe we're not impacting lives. Yes, you are if you're giving them the Word of God. You talk about lighting my fire. It's not gone out yet. As much as I've enjoyed the revival, you talk about a personal experience. That's what these fellows were walking and talking about. Did not our hearts burn with us as he talked with us in a way? You know how powerful it is to see somebody seeking something from God and you're not even in their presence, but the Word of God is, and the Word of God brings that change. I tell you what, it's not an easy thing to go somewhere and start listening to somebody who believes something different than what you do, but you pray for her. God's doing something. God's doing something right there. I tell you, I'll be careful to share things, but I want you to know that this is kind of the missionary side of things I'm supposed to report back to you, and I want you to know it's working. Communication, walking together, that's what they were doing. Did our heart not burn with us in the way while he talked with us, by the way, and while he opened to us the Scriptures? It's a powerful thing to hear somebody read the Word of God to you because that's what they found. That's what the Lord delivered to them and them giving him credit for it. It's a powerful thing. Now, I want us to look at something here at Leviticus chapter number 10, verses 1 and 2. I hurry along here. I'm getting ready to close. Talking about keeping the fire going. You know, it is possible to want something so bad that you could go the wrong direction in getting it. The Bible warns us of that. It's very literal about that. Again, this was where I was at years ago and preaching this, and Brother Eric had mentioned that, and I thought, man, you know what? That's very, very true. Let me get on the right page here. Leviticus 10, 1 and 2, just quickly. I read this to you. Now these two men, now they're priests. These are the sons of Aaron. They had a responsibility to do, to keep things going in the temple here, the tabernacle, to keep things going in a certain way. And when I say a certain way, it's because the Bible prescribes that. That's not me being legalistic. That's not me being critical. That's not me being any kind of way other than giving it to you the way the Bible gives it to us. You know, people, I think, inherently want to feel something. You know, especially you get to church and maybe you're feeling good that morning, had an extra cup of coffee, you're awake and wanting to feel something. But we have to meet God the way he prescribes it, or we're really not meeting him at all. We're just not. You say, well, look how severe this is here. Again, you think about under the law, the way things were this way, and you think about how serious God is about things. God just doesn't let things go. If we come to church, and maybe this is maybe a little repetitious from this week, but it's important that we hear it. If we get to church thinking we can get right while we're here and get in the service, we're way, way, way behind. If you really want to get in on a service, that starts well before you get here. I liken it to this. What if I hadn't studied before coming to preach and I just stood up and just started talking? Things would probably be out of sorts and out of order and probably wouldn't feel right and be like, what's this guy talking about? It's like he hadn't even studied. The likewise, it'd be like, well, what are these people doing? It's like they've not even prepared for the service if you look at it on both sides. How much are you expecting? You see an example here of a couple of people. I tell you, should wake us up and make us think about things here. Leviticus 10:1, it says, and Nadab and Abihu, the sons of Aaron, took either of them his censer and put fire therein, and put incense thereon, and offered strange fire before the Lord, which he commanded them not. And there went out a fire from the Lord and devoured them, and they died before the Lord. You think the Lord takes worship seriously? This will help us. I'm just going to be honest. This will help us. This will help us in our daily life. This will help us when we start out our week tomorrow and think about how we want to approach this week and how we want to put priorities on things this week. You see what happened in the lives of these two men? They thought, this needs fire. We need to add a little fire here. But they didn't think about where that fire needed to come from. You know how often this has happened? Turn on the TV. Turn on most of these mega church things, turn that on, and hide and watch. Hide and watch and see what happens. It shouldn't take you long to figure out that's not real. That's not right. See, a lot of times we're not close enough to things to realize it, but the people who are, they're the ones that come out and talk about it, is like, man, this a lot of smoke and mirrors right here. This ain't the real deal. This ain't the real thing. All these controversies and scandals and things that come out of that, that's not the real thing. But all these two men saw, they had the legacy, they had the heritage that they came from. Again, Aaron's son, the Levitical priest, they were his son. Just get some fire from somewhere. Here, light it. Let's go. I want to go do something else. So a lot of times that's kind of how our life is in church. Let's do this. Let's feel something. Let's go. I want to share something very sincere with you. Number one, if you don't want to feel it, if you're quenching it, you won't. You won't. But I'll tell you this, if you want it, he has it and he will give it to you. I promise you that. He'll never turn you away. And you say, well, what's the big deal here? Why did God kill these two people? Why did he burn them up? Why did he do? They went in there, they had the censer and they had the incense and they're lighting things up. Did you know the reason why? They're using the wrong fire. You can use the wrong fire. You can use the fire of the flesh. You can use the fire of emotionalism. You can use the fire of ecumenicalism. You can use the fire of all this charismatic stuff that you want to and think you're feeling something, but it's not in here. Amen. I'm telling you, this is serious business. There's people walking away from what we know to be the truth. That's serious business. I don't want to do it. I don't want to do that. You've heard it said this week. Had it on my heart many times also. I'd rather just be to myself than walk away from what I know is right. Wouldn't you? Hey, everybody should say amen here. Who wants to step away from what's right? Stay with the Word of God. That's what he gave us. You go on in to see what he's saying here. You say, well, what's so important? Why this? This third point here is separation. If you want to have those old time services like we've talked about, it takes separation. You can't go along with everything and be where God wants you to be. You can't. It's not going to happen. You can try it till the Lord comes back or you pass on, and it won't happen because he prescribed it a certain way. It takes separation. And what I mean by that, I'll just go ahead and say this here. If it's a certain music that keeps you away from the Word of God, music is a funny thing. I've noticed it. I've noticed it. You know, when you go to a gym or something like that, I have never been to a gym and heard gospel music like I hear our choir sing. Never. Never one time. And a lot of times, you know, I don't recall hearing like country music. I don't recall ever hearing like laid back music, anything like that. I hear this hype up, pump up type of music. You know why? Because you're going to lift weights, right? You're there to move, right? Doesn't it take that kind of pump up music to get you moving? You know, nothing slow because you won't work out like you want to. Amen. It's been a long time since I've been to a gym. Maybe it's changed. But here's the thing. That's of the flesh. That's strange fire in the house of God. That's strange fire. That don't mean nothing to God. Here's the thing. Those who worship him must worship him in spirit and truth. That completely takes the flesh off the table. No flesh should glory in his sight. When you start looking at things in a serious way, you think about where did this fire come from that they were supposed to use? Where is this fire supposed to come from? Maybe it's what we're hearing. Maybe it's what we're looking at. Maybe looking at things. Let me tell you, if you're looking at things you're not supposed to through the week, you'll not get it when you get here on Sunday. I promise you. I promise you. The only reason I'm doing this, church, is because I want to help us every single way that I absolutely can. God's going to hold me accountable. He's going to say, Jason, as time was going down, I appointed you to be the watchman of this church. It was up to you to tell them the rights and the wrongs and what they were supposed to do. Did you do that? And I'll have to look back to these days and say, yes, I did or no, I didn't. And here's the thing. When you've heard preachers say, I'd rather God be happy with me and people be upset with me, praise the Lord, I agree. And I don't want anybody here mad at me. I love you. I love you, and I mean that with everything in my heart. But I want things to be right. I want us to have the services that we're supposed to have. I hear it all the time. It's a lot of pressure. Can be. So I remember this, remember that, remember this, and it's like, I'm trying everything I can do, but guess what? It takes all of us. It's all of us. This is a collective thing. Strange fire. The music, what we listen to, what we see, what we say. It is so simple. The things that keep us from God is so simple. It is just our human nature. This is here. Let's make it very simple. We have a sinful nature about us. That's the way we're created. Let's be fair. Let's be honest. We weren't made righteous. We weren't made perfect. We weren't made what you would say right. We were made with a sinful nature. But along with that sinful nature, Brother Patrick, we were made with a mind and a choice. And with that mind and that choice, you've got that sinful nature on one side, and then you've got the will of God on the other side that we find in his word. And if you can take a sinful creature who has a choice and chooses God over sinful nature, that's what he's looking for. What is the Holy Spirit mission? Two things. I want you to remember this. If we remember nothing else, absolutely nothing else from this service, the Lord laid this on my heart this morning. Number one, conviction. That's the ministry, the mission of the Holy Spirit. Number one, if you're lost, to bring forth conviction. To show you that you're lost, show you that you need a Savior. It takes conviction. If you think you're right, you'll never get there. You have to know you're wrong. And the day I found out that I was wrong was the best day of my life because I found out who was right. And I could trust him. Number one, the mission of the Holy Spirit is conviction. Number two, conformity. After we accept Christ, do you know what he wants us to do? He says, now just be like me. Be like me. Walk like me. Talk like me. Carry on my attributes. That's what he wants. Say, preacher, that's awful hard. That's all he's asking for. Well, how do I know how to do that? It's what he prescribes in his word. When we get up tomorrow morning and you think about the week ahead and say, man, I really want to get in there for God, you can. Nobody's holding you back but yourself. Number one, conviction. Be saved. Number two, conform to what he's saying. That's what he's talking about. You look at these verses. I want to read this, and I'm closing with this. Separation. Leviticus 9, 15 through 24. You think about Aaron. You think about how these things were to be. This is how God prescribed it. You think about where this fire came from. And he brought the people's offering. That's what the people, all the people gathered, and they had their offerings. You say, well, we don't do that today, preacher. We're not under the law. That's right. I believe our offerings today, number one, is our will, but it's our actions. It's when we surrender our actions to him. In the New Testament church, you think about a sacrifice. I want you to know this. Without sacrifice, there will be no worship. If we do whatever we want to through the week and carry on however we want to, there will be no worship on Sunday. That's why they had to take a sacrifice to the temple. That's why they had to take one, tabernacle. That's why there had to be a sacrifice first. And he brought the people's offering, and he took the goat, which is the sin offering for the people, and slew it and offered it for sin as the first. And he brought the burnt offering and offered it according to the manner. And he brought the meat offering, and he took a handful thereof and burned it upon the altar beside the burnt sacrifice of the morning. He slew also the bullock and the ram for a sacrifice of peace offerings, which was for the people. And Aaron's sons presented him the blood which he had sprinkled upon the altar about. And the fat of the bullock and of the ram and of the rump, which was covered with the inwards and the kidneys and the caul above the liver. And they put the fat upon the breast, and he burnt the fat upon the altar. You see how exact this was? That's not, hey, let's just try this and see what happens. This is what God prescribed them to do. Now, you say, well, how do I do that? What's that look like today? When you wake up in the morning and you really say, when you pray to God, Lord, let your will be done, not mine, that means when you have that next choice to make of doing it your way or his way, you stop and you sacrifice self and you do it his way. And you do that over and over and over again. Because we're a new creature. We're under new management, new ownership. And he comes on down to say, also here, and it says, in the fat of the bullock and of the ram and the rump and that which covered the inwards and the kidneys and the caul above the liver, and they put the fat upon the breast and the burnt of the offering upon the altar and the breast and the right shoulder, Aaron waved for the wave offering before the Lord as Moses had commanded. God told Moses, this is how it has to be. If you want to worship me the way you're supposed to, this is how it has to be. And Aaron lifted up his hand toward the people and blessed them and came down from offering the sin offering and the burnt offering and peace offerings. And Moses and Aaron went into the tabernacle of the congregation and came out and blessed the people. And the glory of the Lord appeared unto all people. Now look what happened. See, they did all this, just one thing, just to make sure they were right with God. What do we do today? We ask God to forgive us of our sins, and we're willing to turn from it. You know what happens? You know what happens today? I believe there's a movement in and of itself of this. I'm going to sin. I'm a sinner. I know that. I'll just ask for forgiveness. And you just stay in that cycle. And that's not a cycle of worship. That's a cycle of defeat. Wonder why? Why do I feel so defeated? Because you're not willing to turn away from your sin. You'll think, well, I'll just ask for forgiveness. I'll mess up and I'll do it, but I'll just get forgiveness. The Bible doesn't teach that. Now, there is forgiveness. Don't get me wrong. But what happens if it's continual sin? That's not repentance. See, these people did all these things to make sure that they were right with God. That's what we're supposed to do before we come to every single service. I want to say this too. The Lord laid this on my heart a few days, weeks ago, maybe even preparation for revival. You know, we think a lot about the Lord's Supper. We read about that in Corinthians, and it talks about many are asleep and asleep. Many have died and many are sick because they took the Lord's Supper unworthily. That's talking about the Lord's Supper, but did you know it's talking about that specifically, but in reality, we should approach every single service that way. Amen. We should approach every single day that way. There's no like, well, I can live like the devil until we have the Lord's Supper and then I'll get right. It's not what it's saying. It's talking about the consequences of what happens if we don't approach the Lord the way we're supposed to approach Him. And the glory of the Lord appeared unto all the people. And there came a fire from before the Lord and consumed upon the altar the burnt offering and the fat, which when all the people saw, they shouted and fell on their faces. That was the fire that these two men were supposed to use, and they said, no, we'll just make our own. Paul, Romans 10, talking about Israel going about to make their own righteousness. That's what people are doing today. They think they've seen enough of it, heard enough of it, that they can replicate it and kind of move on. It's not going to work that way. That's why the Bible says in the last times there'll be people saying, Lord, I cast out demons. I did all these things in your name. Depart from me. I never knew you. I don't know you. Think about that. The severity of it. Do you know him this morning? Are you willing to keep the fire burning? Are you willing to do what the Lord has prescribed you to do? You think about the old services, and I know some of the younger ones weren't here then, and I'm not sold myself, but thank God I got to see some services I'd like to see again. But there will be no services like that if there's not sacrifices made to have it. There won't be. And that comes from the preacher on down. That's every single one of us. I'll ask Sister Alice, if she will, to come this morning, if you'll stand with me, and all eyes closed, heads bowed.